There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Yeah, whenever they remake a movie, it's never quite as good as the original. Or are there any exceptions? I don't think so.
There's got to be some, right?
So The Thing, 1981, mm-hmm. John Carpenter's The Thing, was a remake of same thing from the 50s.
Oh.
Yes, there's a movie from the 50s called The Thing. It was originally based off that story, Who Goes There? About that shape-shifting alien that they find buried in the ice in Antarctica, which if you were to read the book, it was like 1936, 1938, somewhere around there when the first one was written. I don't know. To me, it's amazing sci-fi of its time period. I mean, as the fact that a shape-shifting alien is uncovered in Antarctica and goes around and like pretends to be other people until they're not looking, and then it like shifts into this monstrous, grotesque form and sucks them in and then turns into them.
Yeah,
it just seemed very unique for the 1930s, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't think people could be that imaginative back then.
When they just had a fire to look at?
No, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
They had radio in the 30s, right?
Yeah.
Back before TV.
How about Terminator 2?
Well, that's sequels. Sequels is different. I'm talking about remakes.
Oh,
like Star
remakes.
Trek. Star Trek was just like a new, I'm sure it was a new story. I guess it could kind of be a sequel, but it's like, oh, you know, this was a hit in the 70s, 80s or whatever. Like, let's just redo it and it'll be a hit now. No. Flop.
Doesn't always happen.
No.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was
terrible.
A hit. I didn't like the second one. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a hit, so some people liked it, right?
The second one?
Yeah.
Ooh. Maybe. Know. That one was horrible. That was like a fever dream.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Horrible.
All right, Johnny Depp, here's what we want you to do for this movie. It's just be as creepy and weird as you possibly can, and yeah, that's it.
So practice like you're at home.
Yeah, right. Pretty much everything you've done since Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, just keep that going.
Just keep doing that. Okay. Well, what about Pirates of the Caribbean? He was in that one, and he was like the something in there.
Yeah, he was just like the Blackbeard version of Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just really weird.
That's actually true.
Johnny Depp, he strikes me as a guy that he was never cool enough for anyone to offer him drugs or like to hang out with him. Like, let's party, man. But he pretends like he is.
He's acting like he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in reality, he's never been offered.
No. And I very much heard that and read that he's like an empty vessel. He's just like a burnout, an actorial burnout. There's nothing inside of him. So who Johnny Depp is just whatever last input was put into him.
That's I loved funny. Him in Platoon. He was good in Platoon.
Yeah, he wasn't even. Now, he was even credited in that movie?
I was going to say, that was like the first something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like
his first
movie.
One,
yeah. He was credited at like the very end, like, oh, yeah, and Johnny Depp, who you've never heard of and probably never will.
Right.
And then Charlie and the Joker Factory.
And they had some good Donnie Brasco.
21 Jump Street was awesome.
21, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. No, the TV show, not the movie. 21 Jump Street back, you know, early Johnny Depp. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that stuff.
So I never thought he'd make it past What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah, or that.
Laura hates that show, movie. I thought it was a good one.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah?
No. I just don't like those. They're like kids' movies,
weird
right?
Movies.
Like, I was
he
just
had a
not,
lot of nightmares about it.
Yeah, that's right. Edward Scissorhands touched me.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now exactly. I'm like a Ken doll.
Yeah. Show me on the doll where he snipped you.
He was my Moyle.
All right. Well, that should do it. We introduce it since we're only a couple minutes into any type of recording here. Regrettable Podcast, episode 5. We want to take a moment to thank everybody who's been sticking with us through here. I know Patrick had some words he wanted to say at some point, right?
Did I?
Yeah, like last podcast, you were like, well, are we going to come back and say thanks and everything? And I was like, I'll do that. On the recording, you were like, oh, well, I want to get in there and say thanks. So here's your time.
Thanks.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Gracias.
Genuine.
Yeah, to our Spanish listeners.
hey, I got to say, and we were kind of, I was like, not, the numbers I didn't think to start were as great as I thought they may be. But then I started thinking about my friends that have also done podcasts and how they started with 10 downloads for the first few weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
We're on par.
We're way above par in that sense. I mean, if we're at 100 something, we're if 100 of you are downloading us every week to see what we have to say, thank you.
Yeah.
And shame on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You have nothing better to do with your life.
So clearly Patrick has a different mind state than he did at the last podcast. Because again, at the end of it, you were like, I really wanted to say thanks.
Yeah.
And now he's just like, shame on you for even listening to us.
Thanks to our future sponsors out there.
There
if you're listening and you thought maybe in a couple of years you would sponsor us, thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. If 100 of you listen, one of you have to run a business, right?
Yes, right.
Is that how it goes? One in every 100 Americans or average podcast listeners run a business. No, I don't
not
think this is sponsorable.
Not just playing it in the county jail.
No.
That's where we're getting all our votes from.
Actually, our advertisements will say, do not play close to regrettable, within 30 minutes of the regrettable podcast.
Exactly.
No, I guess I got to give a shout out. If you've been following every episode,
totally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, this is a prototype, a work in progress. Most podcasts don't really know what they're doing until like a 6 months or a year in.
We're completed work. How dare you?
No, sorry. Yeah, my apologies.
Perfection. We have nowhere to go but up, okay?
I don't know. We haven't scraped rock bottom just yet.
That's true.
I think we might have on the first episode when... No. But yeah, this is the fifth episode, so... You know, wanted to take a special shout out time to shout that out. I don't know. Shout out episode 5.
Woo-woo.
That's how a shout out works, right?
That's a whole hand, baby.
Yeah. That is a whole hand.
We're growing up, bro.
Yeah, so we're podcasters officially, I think. it's different, you know. It's different from radio. Big time. Big time, cuz radio is everything's, you know, you got a few minutes to get your piece in, and if you can't, then you get, you know, the red button. Yeah, we do a show on a country music station, and for 3 hours, unless one of us needs an extra long bathroom time, we play no music.
Right.
It's just ads, segments, and talking.
Right.
So that's...
Whether the segments be news, sports, weather, whatever.
Yeah, we have to keep that up because it's the radio.
And it's what pays the bills.
It's what pays the bills. Yeah. So we have to keep that up. But apart from that, we don't have any problems sitting down talking for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So it does feel different. Like right now, of course, we're not live. So, but almost like, I don't know. I thought it would be swapped, but now I'm on the other end. I feel like there's less pressure on the radio, and more pressure on the podcast
because of the podcast potential. Maybe.
Maybe the potential. Maybe it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, so radio, you can just turn it on and you know, if turn it off, turn it right off when you go into Easy Mart. With a podcast, you've chosen, you've downloaded it, you've chosen to play it, you're going to play the whole thing.
I know
it's got to be, you know, quality. And we've been very political lately.
Yeah,
but we're going to get into this right now. I believe not politics.
Ah.
Why politics? Not politics in general. Just we're going to talk about, I think we should talk about politics as a subject.
I like that.
Every time we've done a podcast, literally something's happening that day.
Yep.
And, you know, it's hard to stray away from it. You know, we wanted the podcast to be as free form as possible. So if we end up ranting about politics for an hour, well, that's what we chose to do. And guess what? Politics is topical. It's something that's fresh. You can continue moving it.
Yeah.
Every time we sit down here, and if we decided to do 2 hours of politics, that's 2 hours less of prep I need to look down at and worry about. It's just politics. We can just speak our minds about it. Now I have to think about things that, you know, might be funny on the podcast, little, you know.
And I like the way you've titled the shows each time. It kind of gives you a quick, okay, these are a couple of topics we do talk about in length. So if you don't like these topics at all, you may steer clear of this podcast.
One of our constructive criticisms was maybe put the politics at the end.
True.
You know, so I can definitely see that. Sure.
I was talking smack about boycotting the show because it's politics. Here's the thing, though. I don't feel comfortable talking politics most often. Just because it's so divisive, I would rather let's say you two are completely opposite. I'd rather the three of us just hang out and not talk politics and get along than y'all debate politics and me have to be here being like, yeah, like I agree with some of that and I agree with some of that, but I disagree with a lot of both of those. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So
the thing about the way we talk about politics, though, is it's way different than normal. Like, it's not like we're sitting here debating economic policy and this and that. We're just talking about, like, how social media influences things.
That's a good point.
Kind of general feels in the country and image and whatnot. And I think that that's a little bit more relatable, so that on either side you can kind of, you know, even if you agree, if you're on one side or the other, you can both know that Facebook is a toxic sludge dump that, you know, is just, it's just not a good place to be in. And we talk about that a lot. So
I think it helps that we come from the lens that politics is stupid.
Yeah.
And just like history is too. History, what is history? It is a recorded collection of humanity's stupid actions and decisions. That's what history is. You don't look back on history for anything good. It's like just stupid things that people did. World War One. People were really dumb for 4 years.
Yeah. You don't read back on history and see, well, Joe farmed and lived a happy life.
Yeah.
Blah, get that out of here. Yeah. I don't care about that. I want to read the one where Joe decided to start a war or something.
Yeah. And genocide the Armenians. Yeah.
We bag on Facebook. We joke about it. Let's use Facebook, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
We bag on Facebook, but I have kind of tailored mine to see what I want. I've cut out a lot of the political stuff. Anytime a political speared, you know, especially a pointed political topic comes across my Facebook page, I don't want to see this.
Right.
And I've done that for years now. And I think a lot of that is now the algorithms are maybe working in my favor, that a lot of that political stuff is filtered away from me. And it's mainly, I get a lot of Southeast Spartan stuff. I get a lot of music stuff. I get a lot, you know what I mean? So maybe I get a lot of family stuff, a lot of Lindley. If it has Lindley, I get a lot. But I've interacted a lot with my Lindley family on Facebook. Right. I hide the stuff that is not important.
So why then does Tyler get nothing but pictures of men kissing each other?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Don't.
I'd be honest on this podcast right now and tell you about my search history. In fact, I'd hand it over to Patrick and let him go through. I don't know. On my Reddit app, I get like a gay dating site, and I don't understand why.
I've gotten those. I get a lot of Do you want to sneak away with me type ads? Does that make sense?
Are they hedging their bets on me?
I think so. That's exactly what they're
just
doing.
Just got to work on you a little bit.
Okay. Maybe that too. Well, but I think it's more they're just throwing it out there and 20% haven't tested it and they don't know.
Yeah.
And they want a nut. So they're like, why not? Let's try. You know what I mean? And it's been so long.
Targeted ad agency, it's not working. I just got to say that. I know you're listening right now trying to figure out what you can advertise to me next. I don't like that when I go to YouTube, my ads are clearly targeted.
Yeah.
I sold my machine Mark III, and now I'm getting ads, nothing about the machine, the new machine,
we
Mark
just,
Studio
well, we
or
just
whatever.
Talked about it.
We did. You know what I mean? I've talked about it a lot about how I sold it.
Right. Yeah.
And,
that's what I'm saying.
It got rid of it.
It's topical. That's why the targeted ads are.
Right.
Coming at you with it.
Or like if I do a lot of magic searching, that I get the magic, you know, ads thrown at me. And
how to pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Right. Exactly. What type of baton to buy, you know?
It's a baton, too.
How to impress your friends by making yourself disappear.
And that's the thing about reviewers, to totally segue into a different place. No matter what it is, you could go online, and if it's a magic baton that a bundle of flowers comes out of the end of or something, that for $9.99, the amount of reviews that are on this thing, just buy it, and if it's garbage, it's gonna throw it away, and don't review it saying it's garbage either. Like if there's a pros and cons list and of it, you're insane. You're just an insane person. Stop reviewing. I know you guys have tested your hands at Yelp reviewers. Nothing worse that a restaurant as a whole hates more than a Yelp reviewer. And to think that like you're eclectic enough and that your taste is good. And I don't know how she did it, but if it was like, you know, I walked in and it was grim and musky, but I sat down and the ambiance was shut up.
No.
Eat the mush.
No, if it was grim and musky, she wouldn't even sit down. And she wouldn't have. And you're right. She would not have than talked about it at all.
I don't see her doing it in a pretentious manner. Like the people who like wear like the badge. I'm a Yelp reviewer, okay? On my off time as a accountant for a large firm that I sit in a cubicle, and after work, I go and I review places.
Yeah, it's my hobby.
You got to understand, she was a Yelp reviewer like 8 years ago. Yelp is completely different now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, enjoy the hawk on your burger.
Right.
That hey, this is for a Yelp reviewer. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Famunda cheese on that one. Yeah, for sure.
And they get that. I don't know what it was about that burger, but it was just something that it was on today.
Yeah. Must have been that oyster that was on it.
I don't remember ordering that. My favorite ones like on Amazon are like, well, product was great. Shipping came on time. I just didn't like the packaging that it came in.
Right.
I really think they could have used some different bubble wrap or something. Just like, what? Come on.
Right.
And I do a lot of online buying and selling, and the only negative feedbacks I've ever got on it, out of like a few hundred transactions, it's all been that, like, do you think you could just buy new bags to put the product in? Like, what's wrong with reusing the old ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reusing the old ones? There's nothing wrong with that. And you shouldn't feel like you need to give somebody a bad. You know what? Don't ever give somebody a bad review. If you bought something and it wasn't like it should be when it came in and it was wrong and all this, just whatever. Just don't review. Don't, you know, shame on you. It's your fault for buying it.
Amazon or eBay, either one, if you get something you're dissatisfied, if you let the person know that sent it to you that, they will most likely refund you a portion of your payment.
Yeah.
Send you a new one. They're going to try to make it right because those stars they mean so much.
It's everything, right?
Yeah.
But screw you for thinking you deserve any of that. Sometimes, you know what? You were unlucky this time. You got the crappy damage product. Take it. That's what I'm saying.
Do we? Should we? I mean, it's so easy to get a new one now if it is damaged. Why should we settle for the crap?
Because you're not worth it. You're not. I'm not. I deserve. I am fully ready to have one out of every 10 of my products be half of what it was promised to be. And I'm just going to take it like a man. I'm not going to get on there, give them a one-star review, say, this is ridiculous.
I'm with that.
And then get your refund. Just, you know, one in build
10,
some character.
Yes. 1 in 10, half, I'm with you.
I'm being absurd right now. You know, of course you should get your flower basket returned and refunded and this and that, whatever it is. Just, you know, don't be such a prick about it.
Well, like you said on the last podcast, I do believe you, even if you get bad service, your waitress has had a bad day, go ahead and tip her the 20%.
Right.
I agree.
I've worked at package facilities. I've seen with my own eyes what happens at those places, and it's a grisly affair, my gentleman.
Yeah.
It is.
I got
it's
a package.
Not good.
The wife got a package just a couple days ago that was completely split open on the bottom.
Mm.
So the FedEx guy or the UPS guy flipped it over and set it down.
Yeah.
So it was upside down. I mean, it didn't matter. So it was just, it was open. It was. It looked like he just opened it, looked at what was in it, and just laid it down.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
So the ones I've seen a PS4, and I didn't know it was that. I seen a PS4. That's the one that's the. No, it would have been a PS3.
Okay.
Sorry, this was the Xbox 360 era and PS3.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like 10 feet tall stacked packages, and one drops down and the corner busts off of it, and it was a PS4 in there. Oh, just a little tape.
Yeah,
keep it going.
Fine.
I saw a guy standing.
It's made in America, right?
Yeah, I saw a guy standing on a wide rectangular box that was flat on the ground, just standing in the middle of it, and it ended up being a TV.
Holy crap!
Just standing on it, just like getting it to get to the next pile of boxes. I saw one where it fell down, bust open. It was a bunch of those mini shooters, full of alcohol, the little tiny bottles that are just the one shot.
Yeah,
and. It was like throwing chum into a pool of sharks.
Shark.
Yeah, it was literally like everybody was filling their pockets full of shooters at the unionized UPS job.
Yeah.
So don't trust. You know, if it like you get your package damaged, guess what? That's the guy on Amazon selling these things, and he normally say has good reviews. Is not like. You know, he's not like McDonald's or whatever, where one out of every 10 customers gets shafted. He wants everybody to be happy. It's the distributor's fault. make a claim with them.
Good point.
You know, everybody's
the blame chain can go very far. And one thing I saw a lot was working in the car industry is getting bad reviews with the service I provide in the service department, and those bad reviews were like, I'm just tired of Dodge putting crap out there
that
I buy, and then that's the review, and it's like, look, that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's your fault. You go buy one of their vehicles every year or 2 years or whatever. You call yourself a loyal customer, well, you got shafted by them. I'm just a middleman here.
Right.
Okay, so don't blame it on me. And my paycheck directly affects that.
I was going to say your salary probably is directly affected by those ratings.
Right, and Mopars are. Dodge or whoever's good, they know that a year or two from now you're going to go buy another one.
Yeah.
So
right, so like it's the review like mentality, the entitlement that just kind of bothers me on everything. I got tanked on a service review. Great service, everything went well, and blah blah blah. I just wish they sold healthier snacks in the or not sold. I'm sorry. I wish they had healthier snacks because we put out. I'm so sorry we give you free donuts and free little packages of Cheez-Its and coffee and hot chocolate. That was all. They had a whole bar full of free, not a penny owed you.
Yeah. I have diabetes, and they had donuts on the bar, and I couldn't help myself, and I ate a bunch of them, and I put myself in a diabetic insulin coma, okay? So why don't you guys consider getting some healthy snacks so I don't do this again?
Tanked review. Service was great, by the way.
But I'm a fat pig, and I couldn't help myself.
One star.
So you suck.
One star. I got tanked. That was one of the worst reviews. That was actually the worst review I've ever gotten. I've never gotten one that was like directed bad towards me.
That's
it was
funny.
Either I got a greasy handprint on the glove box once, left and found a greasy handprint. So shame on my tech.
Right.
I take the bullet on that.
Right.
But I'm taking a bullet for donuts, and I will not agree. I will not stand for that.
The wife has follow the Yelp or the Google reviews or whatever it is, the Google, you know, five stars or whatever. They follow those very closely.
Yeah.
There's one she has not been able to remove that is, she says that it has nothing to do. She's never represented anybody near that case. But the reviewer was like, one star, she's horrible, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Whatever. She's like, I've never represented anybody around that case.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with it.
But she can't get rid of it.
Right.
It's the one-star review she has. Rest of them are five-star reviews. The one-star she can't get rid of because... Whatever.
I got to be honest, man. I think it's an older mentality to do stuff like that. I said on the show the other day, like millennials, I really feel like they're the type to go into a place, get bad service, not like the food, and tip the waitress well.
Hmm.
And maybe even leave a nice five stars or whatever, just because they know, man, people got work.
True.
You know,
they like might have been there before.
Yeah. Right.
I think, Laura, I think here's the difference between Laura, the reviewer, my wife, and the today's reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
Laura reviewed to 80% of the time, she was telling you about the great time she had. And all the amenities this place had, or you know what you can experience, the things they don't tell you about the advertising that we found great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. The 20% of the time she was talking about the things that they could do better.
Right.
Here's how this failed, but you could do it better, or possibly try this.
Right.
I think the ones today, the ones you're talking about, are only there to hurt.
The way
you know what I mean.
We talked about it on the show once, and you kind of described it a little bit. It was Laura, or she was almost reviewing for the other person.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. She's reviewing for the people to enjoy the next stay, or know if they're going to enjoy it.
I'm not too worried about that. It's the me.
Yeah.
This happened to me.
I didn't like the color of the room.
Right.
Exactly. I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
1,000%. And you're right. The 98% of the people reviewing on Yelp today are those people.
Yeah. Me.
I didn't get the greatest service ever.
Right.
Why didn't they treat me like the Queen of England?
Yeah. Somebody got in after me and they served them first. Well, guess what? They actually go there on a regular basis. Okay. They're going to die eating that breakfast. You came in because it's a cool, dingy, greasy spoon or whatever.
Yeah.
You pay the premium of extra time and bad service.
Exactly.
And your coffee's watered down. Yeah.
Or they called ahead.
I've seen bad reviews on like dive bars, And it's like, guys, it's a dive bar. I know it's cool that you can come in here and drink a $2 beer and it's like a dusty neon sign. It's cool for you. The people up at the bar, they're alcoholics. They have to drink there.
Right.
They,
yeah.
It's they live up the block. That's
why. They
don't
care about the ambiance or if there's like enough feng shui.
They don't want to go home to the wife.
Yeah. To me, consumer reviews, I can't help but see them similar to political polling, which is almost like the people who take the time, who would bother to take the time to do it, generally, they're not opinions you should respect.
Yeah.
True. And no offense. I know your wife. She's a very thoughtful, obviously a very thoughtful person. I'm going to say 99% of everything is crap. Yeah.
I agree.
It doesn't matter what you possibly could pick, 99% of it, unless it's crap, then it's 100%, I guess. But I know that she's in the 1%, but I see so much, again, talking about personal experience where people will leave bad reviews just on the most subjective of reasons. Right. And again, I have to go back to political polling when you say like, well, you know, 70% of Americans believe this way. You should not take that as meaning much of anything.
Because that 70% or whoever was polled are people who can't be bothered to leave the house, like spinsters. Have you ever done a review? If you're going to do a survey, nobody's got time for a survey unless it's the people who have time for surveys. Exactly. And you want to hear from them.
Exactly. If you get caught, think about one of us. If you get caught as you're walking out the door by somebody calling on the landline that you still have, weird. But, you know, call it, you pick up the landline, you're like, because this happens in my house every once in a while. Hello? And they start talking, oh, can we ask you these questions about the upcoming presidential election, blah, 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 or whatever it was at the time. And then, you know, you're not going to sit there and do it.
No. Slam.
Yeah, it's like I ain't voting for whoever you don't like. Yeah. And
Kanye
hang up.
West?
Yeah, exactly. But you're slamming the door, you're slamming the phone down, and you're not giving them any information. So, like you said, people that give them the information, you don't want their information.
No.
Generally, yeah.
Generally.
If they're taking the time out of their day to do that, it means they really have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I was about to send my grandson his third birthday card this year, but I'll do this survey instead. Oh, yeah, definitely want to be hearing from you.
I love the idea of customer reviews, though, where businesses or entities, you see an Uber, not only does the Uber driver get a review, but the customer, the patron gets a review.
Has a rating.
Yes, and I feel like you can learn more about businesses or entrepreneurs from that way, as well as how they're rating their customers, and then go back to their customers' feedback. And again, mixing that together, I feel like you can get a pretty good picture of whether it's going to be a decent transaction. Barring if it's going to be... To me, it's almost like the product is if you're going off Amazon, it's like irrelevant. Nobody on there is like making this stuff, right? It's Amazon obtaining it and then selling it. And at least you can almost rate the transaction differently than the product itself.
Yeah.
I'd have to imagine.
If you're reviewing Amazon's process, you know, that's different than reviewing the product. And I'd say most, like, you know, Amazon sellers, they're just signing up. They're just signing up to use the platform. So the shipping, the process of Amazon and all that, it does still fall on the seller. You know, Amazon is like, was me, you know, just clean.
That's why I like eBay, I guess, because eBay has a, you know, return policy. If you don't, I mean, if the sender doesn't have their own policy, eBay has a policy in place. So you still have that kind of a double whammy just in case.
Amazon has that too. I got refunded by Amazon, not the seller, when the seller was just like responding to me about my missing package. And they were just like, oh, we'll take care of it. And if the seller reimburses us, then great. If not, whatever.
We had that happen when we did we saw some fraudulent purchases on our Amazon account. And Amazon actually came and they were just like, don't worry about the banks or your credit card company or anything. We'll take care of it on our end. And it was pretty a few hundred dollars.
Probably easier for them, like cheaper in a way.
Insurance for that.
Yeah. I was going to say the customer review that you get, it almost seems like disingenuous. Like, they gave us a 1-star review, but we gave them a 1-star review too. So, you know. Take that with a grain of sand, as Patrick likes to say.
Yeah. But it can work both ways. You know, you see, and let's just go simply buyer and seller. If the seller's like, this person sucks, this person sucked to deal with, this and that. And then maybe you go back and you see that the buyer's feedback is like, oh, it's a good transaction, you know, but maybe the seller didn't think they tipped enough or anything like that. You can start to be like, okay, well this seller, he or she is downvoting everybody. So he's probably a dick.
Yeah.
And not worth dealing with.
I'd say you're going to be right about that most of the time. I did see a video recently of a DoorDash driver who was yelling through the door of the place she was trying to deliver to that they didn't tip her enough. It was an $8 tip, you know, and I'm not sure exactly if you get paid from DoorDash or just the tips. I have no idea, but she was like, this took me 30 minutes to get to you, and you're only going to give me an $8 tip? You have to give me more, or else I'm returning this food.
I saw this, and she's just standing outside the door, yelling this into the house.
Insane person. Yeah. Like, $8, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good.
I mean,
I don't know.
30 minutes for $8, that's $16 an hour.
Yeah.
I have to imagine you're getting some percentage off the total sales, yeah, too.
So with that, that makes it $18 an hour. That's not horrible. Yeah. That's not the best ever, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to be screaming at somebody, at a stranger through their door about not giving taking the food back because I got an $8 tip.
You know how many pizzas I didn't get a tip on? Delivering pizzas?
Most, I bet.
Many. Yeah. Well,
maybe not most.
A small amount. Yeah. Even if you counted the small amount of tip, that was like keep the change. It was like 32 cents. You know what I mean?
That's not a tip.
That's not a tip. Okay. So, you're right. Then most. Most people did not tip when it came to a pizza delivery guy.
Right. I think it's just the entitled nature. You know, you got to feel everybody, everything about media, social media, what everybody's telling you is that you're important. Every day, everybody feels a little bit more important. So you can leave your reviews about how you didn't feel important enough at this establishment.
Right.
Yeah, and leave the review on a social media platform that you feel important on. You're not. Like, it's just, you're not. 20 years ago, everybody was like, oh, yeah, I'm just a small grain of sand among the many. You know, I'm not important at all. So there was no place to leave your review. Yeah. You had Roger Ebert or whatever who gets to review movies
Siskel
for
and
you.
Ebert, remember
yeah,
them?
You With got thumbs. You got Zagat.
That's all he needed.
Yeah,
Zagat.
You got
yeah.
Zagat to review the place that's down the block from you. You don't get to, you know, you maybe get to write into a local newspaper and they just throw it into the insane people pile.
The newspaper did their annual best ofs.
Yeah,
you know, you knew who had the best Mexican food.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now all it is how important you are. So get all your likes, get all your opinions out there that don't matter ultimately.
Well, I feel like if you could review the reviewer, that would be that would maybe help address so much of that. Like if you could see where someone who stayed at a hotel, they write a terrible review about it. And then you can see the hotel's response to that person and be like, yeah, they were a mess, okay? Yeah. They didn't flush the toilet afterwards. We constantly had to come up there and fix things for them and check on it. Then you see like, oh, the last hotel these people were at, same exact review.
Yeah.
They were just slobs, terrible to deal with.
Spray
and you're like, I should not care about this person's opinion at all.
Yeah, sprayed a bunch of mustard between the sheet and the comforter.
Ooh.
I would love for hotels to take it to the next level, gather those reviews, have an app in which allows hotels to see who the worst customers are and don't rent them hotels.
Yeah, refuse them service.
Refuse them.
Yeah, because that's what happens with Uber. If you have a one star as an Uber driver they'll just refuse you. Or like they have the ride. This guy, he's pretty close to me. He needs a decent trip, but he's only got one star.
I wonder if they can, because they bid for it, right? I mean, does anybody know how it works? You got the app. There's three people in their area the three of you say, okay, I'll take it for $461. Oh, I'll take it for $418. Well, I'll take it for $391, $399.
I think the price stays the same. Okay. I think it's a, and I could be totally wrong, because but I used it a lot in Flag, and you would pull up the app, and it'd be like, there's three drivers in your area. So that would just inform you that you can get your ride pretty quick.
Correct.
Once you click start ride, it just assigns one randomly.
Oh, it
so
just
an honest system.
I got you. Random makes sense to me. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But even bidding for it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's capitalism, sure. Right?
Right.
Well, then you'd have every Uber driver trying to compete against the next Uber driver.
Right.
And then at some point, somebody be like, I just do this on my own. Screw Uber. You know, if I'm just here to price cut, I will price cut the most.
Right. But Uber has 100 million people using them. You can price cut, but you're going to have to start up your own app and
get,
I've got my own app. You don't got to use Uber anymore. You know.
I wonder if there's Uber drivers who are like, they pick you up and they're like, hey, you give me the 20 directly and I'll just cancel this trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's...
There has to be a reason why he canceled, and then if you get multiple cancels, then I'm sure that flags you.
Yeah,
Think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be fail-safes on that stuff.
Right. Yeah,
they've got to figure it out by now. When Uber first started, before... what was the other one? What's the other one?
Lyft.
Yeah. I mean, somebody got tired of Uber. There's a Lyft out there.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That's so true. Or it was enough. It was enough bad customers that rallied together. Like, we're not able to get... rides anymore, so you know we're gonna have to create a whole new app.
Yeah, crappyriders.com.
Yeah,
and we hate you, but it's okay. We'll pay you anyway.
Yeah, we don't tip you nothing.
Yeah,
because Uber has made a business model though off screwing its employees. So if the employees could somehow figure out a way to screw Uber, good on them.
Yeah,
go for it. Right. I'm not gonna call you out.
Yeah, the only time, you know, this is gonna be probably a hard transition, but the only time I feel entitled is when I'm in a convenience store, you know, and it's less entitled. Like, I would never leave a review at a convenience store, but there's something about convenience store service that just bothers me. It's the only time in my life, in my consumer life, where I'm like, what is the meaning of this? You know, I get really agitated and I don't know why. You know, it's just buying cigarettes and gas.
Cigarettes
and gas. If I run into the slightest hitch, it just bugs me to no end, and I don't know why.
I remember you've talked before about someone should run on the political campaign of make convenience stores convenient again.
Yeah.
There used to be a time where you go in, and maybe in a day when people could read other people better.
Yeah.
So maybe even the basic cashier at an Easy Mart store is still a human being, and most of their social interaction was in person and not online. So they could tell pretty quick, like, maybe the way they're dressed or maybe the way they're acting. They don't necessarily want to hear that my boyfriend just caught me with my girlfriend.
Right. Right.
And now I'm going to tell you what my mom thinks about it all.
Right.
You know, you could just go in and you didn't. And maybe they would. Maybe you would strike them as the person that they could have this conversation with. But they could pick and choose.
Yeah. There's no other service industry where I'd rather interact with an iPad than than just a human being. No matter how good or bad you are, I would just like a blanket. Let's just throw iPads in these people's places so I can, you know, just move on with my day.
He says that right now, but I'm gonna go opposite. I think he truly lives for this interaction.
It's one of the few probably get nowadays.
And here's why I say that.
All right.
Because if you truly loathed the interaction as you say you do, and I truly believe you do on occasion, I think you would prepare for less interactions, i.e. using the card in the pump and buying cartons of cigarettes. Therefore, you don't have to see them but once a week-ish.
Yeah, but you still get upset. And the carton is every day my packs are my last.
Yes,
you can't
true.
Be buying a carton. That
one
means
of you is bumming off the other other day.
Every single time I buy cigarettes, I'm like, this is my last pack of cigarettes that I'm buying.
If you're buying them by the carton, you might as well have given up on life at that point.
Yeah.
That is...
And then, and I can't just stop smoking entirely. That's like quitting going to the bathroom. Like what? Like that's my whole life. You know, it revolves around that. So it's an unfortunate one that I have to partake in. If I would absolutely use the card at the gas pump if they didn't charge you a blanket, like hold fee. They do that at most gas pumps.
Oh yeah,
that's true. Good point. Angers me.
Well, I'm very much with you. If you could just put iPads in these people's places, and there might be some who would criticize that idea and say, "Well, this is a starting job for somebody." I have never known anyone whose job my first job was at Easy Mart. Yeah. That's generally somebody's last job, is what it seems, before they're dead or in prison
or finding some way to get disability.
It's the end of the line. It's the last place. It's the last bastion of hope that you have, because I've seen from the beginning of a week to the end of the week a lifespan of an Easy Mart employee hired, quit, 1 week. And at the end of it, it was like I saw her on the phone being like going down the list. So I started at, you know, JCPenney. And then I ended up, you know, fluffing that job off and I got fired. And then I went to, let's see here, maybe waiting at a restaurant. Didn't do so good at that. I only lasted a couple days. Then I went to the industry in town, the local industry, the assembly line of some kind.
Right.
Wasn't cut out for that. Maybe I took off a little too much time. Axed. Now I'm at Easy Mart and I just quit. What are you going to do? You're just a professional garage sailor. Like, you just turn and burn.
You're not going back
items.
To college.
Yeah. No.
He just described my life, except for to replace Easy Mart with radio.
Yeah, yeah. This is the last
bit. That's a little bit of a difference, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like industry, little pest control, hotel action worked in there.
You're right, because I've said it on multiple times, man. If I have a bad month, it's Easy Mart. Like, that's the next natural step for me.
I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
If I get canned from my real job.
Because I totally just went down my list. I started JCPenney, tried some industry, didn't work there. Not cut out for waiting or cooking. Failed immediately. And then now I'm in radio, like, this is it.
Instead of what was the first one?
JCPenney?
Yeah, that mine was pizza delivery.
Right.
Yeah, pizza delivery. Right.
And hey, McDonald's I did, of course, everybody knows.
Oh,
but
if
you've avid listener to the podcast, I'm all for working at McDonald's. But there's nowhere else to go. You're at the bottom, so why would you treat it like a top-of-the-line job?
I don't know.
And plus, not to mention, everything is all about, you know, you dress for the job you want, right? Well, how are you going to dress for a job when your clothes have to match the building? It's just the same color scheme. You're going to come in with a green and white suit? Well, I really want to get up to upper management. I figure this is the next step.
I feel like they find upper management immediately.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you're cut out for... You mopped the floor by yourself. Yeah. You're cut out for upper management.
You didn't
management.
Steal from the cash register after a week here? Yeah, you are management material. Exactly. You're vice president of operations.
Yeah, you didn't let mold grow in the coffee vat? Oh, wow. Man, you're going to get right up... You're going to move fast here at Easy Mart.
You're a team leader tomorrow.
Yeah. It's just not a place that, like, promotes prospects. It sucks. It absorbs them.
Yes.
You know, it ruins them.
Yeah. Where are you going to go?
Why do you think they call it Sleazy Mart?
Yeah.
You know, I grew up hearing that.
So. Right. And it's just like, okay, so let's say you're the best Easy Mart employee ever, and you rise to the top of, you know, Thursday night assistant swing shift manager, and you're there, okay? You're in it, and I mean, do you continue going through it, or is that something now you can put on your resume to find a job at a more reputable place? You know?
I don't know.
All I know is that most of the Easy Mart employees I ever see, man, is just, I mean, one more step and they're just hitting a wall.
Yeah, you say, Circle K actually offered me a general manager position. And then they're like, well, we'll give you area manager. You'll cover all the Easy Marts in this district.
Yeah. But I guarantee you, like, the district managers and area managers never worked at the cashier level. They were hired on from out, like, we need you to oversee a bunch of these here.
I wonder, right. You know, Dollar General is like that. I have a friend who she was down and out, had some bad luck employment-wise, and the quickest thing she could find was Dollar General. She worked there for a few weeks before they were like, well, we want you to be manager now. A couple weeks after being manager, they were like, district manager.
Right.
You know? So now you cover...
Yeah.
Now you thought you just have one store to worry about. Now you have like a couple dozen or
right.
something.
Well, think about...
Wholly unprepared for the job and then wasn't able to hold that either.
Right.
So.
Well, Dollar General, I think, is quite a few rungs up. Because let's go through it. So you get hired on a Dollar General. You gotta check people out, probably stock shelves, remove and grab pricing stickers and tags, price things differently, maybe make a clearance section, do all this extra stuff. At Easy Mart, it's almost like a union. You stay right where you are because somebody else comes in and stocks for you. Somebody else comes in and manages the POS system for you. Somebody comes in and refills all you do, because all you're trusted to do is stand right there. The moment you're not there, we have an issue. Maybe refill the coffee if you can remember.
So are you saying standing out front smoking is not
that's
part
not,
of the...
Because
every single one of them locally, that's what happens.
Yeah. Because think about it, every place. You're not running to the back to grab a new box of Hershey's bars and stick. No, they got the Hershey guys come in and he does it. Yeah, every time you go to a convenience store, there's one guy refilling something or other. The ice... The drinks, the everything is not, as an Easy Mart employee, don't touch it.
The only guy that I don't beat to work in the mornings is the Little Debbie Man.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Little Debbie Man.
I don't know what time he's out there doing his thing, bringing joy and miracles to the world.
He's like Santa.
Yes.
Santa Claus.
I guess you got to be up early to catch Little Debbie Man.
Yeah. So in Dollar General, they trust you with a little bit more. I'm saying like Dollar General fired. Oh, now it's you climb another rung down.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound real bad. If you work at Easy Mart and you love it, that's different. You love it. You know?
If you work at Easy Mart and love it, chime in, comment, let us know. We want to ask you some questions.
Sure.
How did you get there?
Yeah.
To
How bad
your
is your life? Yeah. We haven't even gotten into what irks us about our convenience store trips, apart from your personal stories, which shouldn't be a part of our transaction at all.
Right.
I give you money, I get a thing, is usually the natural, you know, that's how it goes. There's always something extra in there. And then don't waterboard me with, oh, the computer, and you're pretending to press buttons Or like I'll go there always. It's the same lady. I'll get there and I'll be like, hey, you know, pack of smokes, 10 on pump one. And she's like, hold on. I got to get into the safe. You know, and I'm like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
The safe that has $700 in it. You know,
like, I won't look when you twist the little lock knob on it.
In little circular tubes of 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand this is the only time you get to feel any kind of power is when you got it. They call it dropping the safe. I don't know if you've heard that. I got to drop the safe real quick. Woo. You know, oh, yeah, I'll stand here patiently and wait for you.
Stuff your 100s in a little slot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care about your safe dropping. Just give me my smokes and gas, please.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. And don't hit me with, oh, you know, it's a thing. Well, I don't have any control over it.
It's just because most people really aren't sympathetic. I mean, they'll feign sympathy for the problems that you're having, but most people really aren't that sympathetic. But it also... understand, like you don't have to explain it, you know.
No.
Like if you're having a problem, just deal with it. Oh, excuse me, it'll be a second,
right?
You know, don't need to be like, well, this button's not working on
right.
This cash register was built in the Soviet Union in the 70s. What am I supposed to do with it? Like, I'm just, none of those problems like relate to me in the grand scheme of things.
No.
So you just maybe at some point tell me, hey, it's not going to work out.
Yeah,
not to
you're not
today's
getting a
receipt, not your day.
Sorry.
Yeah,
paid it for you.
The worst is when you go up there. And they're not saying nothing to you the whole time. Yeah, give me that. And they're doing it all. And then eventually they say something wild and that pertains nothing to do. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? And they turn and they have the AirPod in and they're like, I'm talking, okay, to somebody on the phone. You know, basically, I'm not talking to you.
Right. Like,
you know?
You're not a customer right in front of me
right
now.
Like an Easy Mart employee, man, you're under so much scrutiny from me. It's got to be perfect because if you're talking to me too much, I hate you. If you're not talking to me enough, I hate you. You got to get right into the groove of my personal entitlement.
I'm the guy right behind him walking, like, sorry for that guy.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. I apologize. Yeah.
No. Like, I'll tip you if you're bad at a restaurant. If the food is bad, I'll just leave without saying nothing. If I can't find you at Walmart, nobody's helping me, I'm not going to leave a review or anything. The only time I feel like an entitled
brat. You know,
brat is when I'm at Easy Mart.
Little biatch.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. See, that one of my pet peeves is going to the Easy Mart. And again, that we're just going off our local brand. The listeners out there.
Maybe it's Shell. Maybe it's Circle K.
It could be
K.
anything.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe it's 7-Eleven.
Sinclair.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Any convenience store.
Yeah.
That 20, and especially a 24-hour one. Because just that's just almost like a whole other level. Like, you got one that's like, we're open 6 till 8. You know, it's like it's a
different
mom-and-pop business.
Yeah, exactly. They got a
we're
hot bar.
We're not talking about mom-and-pops at all. Yeah.
But this application process that I imagine at Easy Mart, I mean, there's a script, okay? Like, the three things say to a customer, hello, or some variation of that, not more than like a what's up or
like
words.
A greeting.
Yeah.
How are you this day?
A greeting, then the total, and then a farewell.
Yeah.
You know, again, no life stories or the problems that you have that day. We all got our own problems, and the convenience store, not the place to air them out generally.
Yeah. And don't act like you know me. Don't grab my cigarettes before I ask for them, because then I'm not getting them. I'm now just out of spite driving to the other side of town and grabbing the smokes there because they don't know me.
You're wrong for that. You become a regular, and these people like you enough to grab your smokes for you before you even say the words.
I want to be a regular at somewhere else. I don't want to be a regular to Bertha,
And my thing is, like, you're going to be fired or quit in 2 weeks, so why even bother take the time to learn anything about me?
Yeah, and the worst is,
hey, I just want you to know I see you every morning, but my name's... No. You don't have to... Yeah. No need. Let's...
you're definitely a new recruit in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk to you. You're Gardner, okay? And tag that piece of shit.
When you've been here 9 months, a year, a full tour of duty, you know, then we'll start to build up something.
That's what I heard England is like. Or like somebody visited the same corner store for like 4 years, and then after 4 years, and he said good morning every time, and after 4 years, he's like, you all right? That's what you get after 4 years.
Laura was the attorney for a local municipality, and she made the joke once. There were so many officers that was like a revolving door that one of them said something about, oh, what, you don't know my name? She was like, I'll learn your name after you've been here a year.
Yeah, good more point. Than a hot minute.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing is that. Then nothing irks me more when I don't need the cigarettes that you're grabbing. Mm-hmm. If I do need them, then I'm in a situation now. I have to either swallow my pride or go across the town out of spite. Now, if I don't need the cigarettes and you've already got them there, I'm like, might as well brush those off the counter. Don't need them. Didn't ask for them. I know you think you know me.
That is the epitome of the phrase, cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I'm gonna go across town and get these and take at the time.
I'll even pay
32 cents more.
Yeah. I'll even take a right when I know I need to go left so they don't see my car. They don't think I'm going to
the other way.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah.
You just need to pick a different brand. Next time do that. And not today.
I don't smoke those no more.
Yeah.
And then the next time, I switch back.
Yeah.
Are we just messing with these people now? See, again, hear how entitled and like an asshole I sound like?
Horrible.
This is the only situation. That's right. It's the only situation I could admit that I'm just a tiny brat. Like a small man, very small.
But it's the most basic of the shopping experience in our modern society is the convenience store. If there's one thing everybody goes to, it's a convenience store.
Yeah.
You think we could get it right. It wouldn't have to be this awkward situation so many times.
Right. And every time I start to like somebody, they're gone.
They're gone.
And again, if you're good, you get swept up to upper management.
I just became district manager over there in Nashville.
My heart's been broken so many times at Easy Mart that I can't put my heart out there anymore and let somebody take it and just get hurt again.
Yeah.
Just leave.
You left me with Braxton. Now I have to deal with him. I act like a petulant child in an Easy Mart, and I think it's the only service that I can say that I act like I shouldn't.
People often act like children when it comes to checking into a hotel, and they don't get the exact amenities that they feel like they deserve,
right,
for whatever reason.
Where's my bar soap?
Yeah.
Where's my little thing, my little squirt?
You should have some soap, I think. But.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but don't call like an asshole about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, did I forget the soap on the way up? I mean,
no, yeah. Do you ever get somebody acting like kind of snippy or bad towards you in customer service? And you're like, ooh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
To start wringing your hands together like, I would like to speak to your man. I've never done that, but I dream of it. I fantasize about speaking to a manager. Everybody kind of wants to be a Karen at some point, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we feel like, ooh, if I did this, I could totally destroy their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And make them not be who they are today.
Oh, you were slightly snippy to me.
I'm gonna
ruin your life.
Exactly.
Now.
But then so many times I know of one situation where I was told I'm gonna talk to your manager. And after the transaction was done and everything, just like, hey, who's your manager? I need to talk to him about you. And I was like, oh, okay, here you go. And the manager was like, yeah, well, I apologize, you know, for any slight you might have felt, any inconvenience, blah, blah, blah. I got the guy out of there, and then he and I just laughed our asses off about it afterwards.
Because
at the end of the day, you know, this idea customer's always right, I don't know where that came from, where that was ever instilled, but that's, I don't know how often that's true. Customer's usually very wrong.
And an asshole.
Yes.
And there is a team there. As long as you're in good relationship with your manager.
Yes. Then you're doing a good job at the end of the day.
Right, right. Know. The customer is an outsider. So they'll triage with the customer, get them out of there without leaving too harsh a review, and then you get to both like nudge each other and be like, oh, that was kind of funny, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that as a customer, you are not on anybody's side but your own. You know, you're just, they're trying to get, the whole point of you being a customer is to leave as quick as possible from when you entered the building with purchasing with whatever you did. If it's a store where you go in and say, buy furniture, I used to do that. And my entire goal was making sure you leave as quickly as possible. Whatever route I had to take to get to that point of you leaving was having bought something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to talk with you. The last thing I would hate so much, and this would happen in service too, like a car service. The invoice is written, it's signed, it's paid, and then they sit down, thinking that they can now continue. Hey, you were such a nice guy to me. Let's sit down and have a conversation. The moment that the money has changed hands, I am no longer your friend. That's just the way it goes. I no longer want to be associated with you. Don't call me out next time you see me at Walmart. Hey, man, that's my furniture guy. Nope. I just work at the building. This is your furniture building.
He's looking for his next mark, okay?
Yeah. People who would like come in when I'm not there and ask for me. You know, well, I'll just come in the next day when he's here. Then no. The whole point is for me to not ever, like, as much in my 8-hour day to not interact with customers.
Yeah.
To try and get as much time doing that as possible.
See, I mean, my whole life, or the past 20 years of my life, has been completely opposite. Trying to interact with my customer / listener.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, interacting is kind of the
name of the game, right?
Well, for me, some people can do it without ever interacting with the outsider and needing that level, any level of input. Mm-hmm. I feed off of knowing how you're receiving it.
Right.
If you don't like it, I want to know.
I'm with
so
you.
So we can alter it or know you're a douche.
Yeah.
One of the two.
This is the one job I've ever had where, like, if you come up to me after the fact and talk to me, I'm glad. I'll definitely talk to you as long as you're not a complete insane person.
There's some pretty insane people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. But I met plenty of insane people in service, and it, like, you know, I've almost wanted to sit down a customer who caught me outside of. It's like, you remember when you were in school and you saw your teacher outside of class and realized that they had lives outside of your classroom, and maybe you shouldn't go and talk to them. Yeah, that's this situation right now, and you're living it, buddy.
That's hilarious. Speaking of meeting outrageous people, at the hotel that I worked at, the Hampton Inn Express on in Oklahoma City, Northwest Expressway, Ja Rule was doing a concert, and I didn't, like, talk to Ja Rule, but I saw him walk past the front desk with his entourage, and the dude is, like, as tall as this desk. Literally, I mean, he was, like, nose and forehead above the counter.
Right.
And I'm sitting here, look, chest above the counter.
Five, please.
No, he didn't interact with any of the workers because he had people for that. Right, you know, right. He was like just
big
walking
dudes.
Straight through. Yeah. Yeah, he had dudes around him. He had like 30 people with
him. You
need
that many when you're
well,
go down the counter, get my rubber ducky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him and Jay-Z's hit was slamming at this point.
Right.
So he was somebody big right. time.
He's got the big dude in the entourage who comes and places the little baby steps in front of the
yes.
counter. And he
this was just before the 50 Cent beef. Had yeah. I been, had because I was a big fan of Eminem, 50 Cent back then. Had I been, had the beef been public at that point, I probably would have been like, forget you, punk. You know what I mean? And then got yeah. fired. But still, it would have been worth it. And then I would, like, you know, wrote a letter. Now, yeah. I wouldn't have tweeted. Think about this. I wouldn't yeah. tweeted my.
You would have wrote your congressman?
I would have wrote a letter saying, dude, guess what I did to Ja Rule for you guys, 50 Cent? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And then maybe you can get his into his entourage. Imagine being Ja Rule's, like, piggyback guy. That he, like, gets up on your shoulders and you got to. Can you see all right up there, buddy?
He's not just ugly. He's really small, too.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, dude, we're going to be catching some mad beef with Ja Rule once this.
I'm okay with that.
I would be interested to know many reviews left in the pest control industry.
Ooh.
Be a weird one. I don't know. It's a service department at a dealership. You're not interacting with people on their best days. People are calling you. I mean, I guess if the routine's one thing, but I got a bad pest control situation. I need you to be here now.
Yeah, they cleared them out, but then my dirty ass brought them right back again.
I did. they never say that, yeah. by the way. They're always like, they never got rid of yeah. these daggum things, man. Yeah.
Had nothing to do with me.
Yeah. No, I worked for, I don't know, about a year and a half in the pest control industry. And it's not something, and I take it lightly because I did it, but you got to pass a full-on test to get certified to use the chemicals to do these things.
Right.
You know, to have to know where you put them so you don't put them in the food. You know, you don't contaminate yeah. things.
Don't spray them in the box of cereal.
Exactly.
Okay. And to make sure you're not Al-Qaeda, you know, trying to get a hold of, you know, I'm sure it could be some bad stuff.
Yeah, well, the termite, the funny thing is, all of the, just about, like, 75% of the chemicals I used when I was in pest control have been discontinued because they're no longer safe for human touch or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and gloves were optional back when I was in pest control. You know what yeah. I mean? So, but no, it's one of the funnest jobs I ever had, guys. Pizza delivery, pest control. These were very similar in the sense that I went out every day. Pest control, I guess, less places. You know, pizza delivery, it's one right after another. I'm going
right.
to another house. I only spend a few seconds with them, and I'm gone.
Right.
Pest control, I went out every, let's see, like a apartment. I did a lot of services for apartment complexes. So, and they were, in many cases, the lowest of the lows when it
yeah.
comes to, you
so
know,
many people.
A lot of Section 8 housing in these, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. So many people, many of them didn't care
right.
about their living, how they lived.
And in those situations, kind of what will happen in one spot spreads to the rest of it.
In this situation, that's exactly right. You cannot have an infestation next door and not have a problem.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have bleach. If you bleach your counters every single night before you go to bed, you're going to wake up with a cockroach running across your front on your counter when you flip the light on. if you have an infestation next door.
Right.
It, you just can't help it. I'm right. sorry.
Did you enjoy him so much because you didn't have to bring the work home with you?
Hopefully you didn't.
Right. Yeah.
No. A couple of stragglers attached yeah. to you and
I start a whole new colony.
Everywhere you go.
Probably.
That's and how you keep the business going.
Yeah, like the
you
pocket.
Go to, yeah, shake out a few in yeah. a business. So like, oh, we still saw a roach. We need you to come back and do it again.
Yeah, you're like a mob front. You walk into a place that doesn't need it. Like, be a shame.
Yeah. If, yeah.
You know,
such roaches yeah, are out here.
Shaking roaches out of your sleeve.
I think I thoroughly enjoyed the job because I went something did something different every day.
Oh yeah.
The activity was the same. I, you know, what I call caulked for roaches because it felt much like caulking.
Yeah.
You know, when you baited for roaches. Or I did the termites or an ants. Ants were a big thing. You know, summertime ants and cockroaches and fleas. And then of course wintertime it was the termites. You know, because you always prepped for the termites. You know, you didn't really treat termites as it was happening.
Right,
almost too late at that point. Right,
right, right, right. You had to treat them completely different. It was way more expensive if you're treating them flying.
Oh,
so
man.
I mean, that's dumb. You
so
just
more
wait.
Prevention.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, but it was the different activity. It was meeting different people, going through people's stuff, and not in the sense of like going through their stuff, but like going through your room. Like
right.
if you live in an apartment, if y'all's house was an apartment, you would have signed on the dotted line that you would allow people in your apartment once or once every 3 months, so quarterly, right? Yeah, you'd allow somebody in there to take care of pest control, or as needed if there were any outbreaks of whatever. Anyway, so since you signed this on the dotted line, even if you denied access the day it happened, they would force entry if you didn't allow it. You know what
right,
I'm saying? So
right.
it was meaningless not to.
That is, with thinking about that now, because today as we're recording, I had a pest control guy in our house for the routine maintenance. And I can't think of anyone else who's ever been inside, like, my bedroom.
Exactly.
My wife and I and the bug man.
Exactly.
<is it. laughs>
Seriously.
And in every corner. Went in your room, Tyler.
Yeah.
Your door was open. You know, yeah. it's like, and
this. And they hit the baseboards, probably,
yeah.
with the
yeah.
little spray. Hit the corners, maybe. Yeah.
I try to wonder how much he looks around. I guess that yeah. would be one of the fun aspects of the job, is you just, like, kind of come in. Because it's not like you're having guests over, clean up the house or anything. It's almost an afterthought. Like you
exactly.
Get a text from your wife like, oh, hey, I'm at work. You're at work. Just wanted to remind you the bug guy's coming by. So hopefully nothing incriminating got left out.
Yeah.
Oh, there was plenty of blunts.
The body.
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of blunts, lines of coke or whatever that yeah. powder was that was on the counter.
Did you ever help
plenty
yourself?
Plenty of those.
Like you pick up a roach and take this
no. No. And the only reason why I didn't was because I was afraid it was laced with something.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know. You pick somebody else's weed up. You don't know if it's got some, you know, some dirty funky on it, you know, some yeah. PCP laced on there or something.
Well,
I
assume like he's going to the bedroom and there's expensive stuff in there, you know, just laying out at times. And
right.
well, I just can't help but think this, you know, something goes missing. Who do you instantly blame? The bug right, guy.
The
he's
bug.
The only
that's where
guy
I was going,
that's
yeah.
been
yeah.
through there. So he's got like a, they've got to be like 100%
yeah.
conscious about that and
thinking
don't disturb
that,
a thing.
Right. Yeah. Thinking that the guy, the client is like, yeah, take something. I know exactly where it's at, and you're the only man in this place.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I worked with guys who were less than honest and did rummage through things on occasion. Mm. And, I mean, I worked with – okay, one dude stole a bottle of cologne. And I just thought to my we were in the bedroom – he was teaching – okay, he was my mentor in this – okay?
This is what you do here.
Yeah. So fine. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And there was like this dresser. Okay, his dresser had dust on it this thick, right? And there were 40, 50 bottles of cologne. Each bottle of cologne had dust on it this thick,
yeah.
okay? I looked at that and I instantly thought, when you remove any of that, you're going to see a hole where the dust was.
Yeah,
you
the
know,
original
you know what I mean?
Wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he thought, nobody's touched or looked at this for years, obviously, so I can take whatever I want. It just, I don't know.
It just
took the bottle of Drakkar Noir and
no, it was cool water cologne actually.
Okay,
cool water. Yeah.
Take some dust from like on top of the ceiling fan and sprinkle it over the hole that was left behind.
He did have enough sense to grab it from like a back area where it was obscure. It was like it wasn't in line or anything. Okay. They were, you know, just placed somewhere when they stopped. Yeah. You. They're all like this full.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like, oh, I got a new bottle. They set that down, you know, or whatever. But yeah, it was like he stole the. I mean, like, dude, you stole a half-used bottle of cool water cologne.
Put your job at jeopardy for that.
Next day, we got a call on that, and it's my boss. What am I going to say? No, yeah, he took it. I saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
they called about the cologne.
Yes, about that cologne. The very next day. I laughed it off as like, who wants a half-used bottle of cologne? That's funny. Of course, I was the one they looked at because I was the new guy.
Yeah.
So we hold the French toast up, bros. Yeah. If this is the way it's going down, I ain't even messing with y'all. Right. Well, of course, you know, it was a whole atmosphere. That business was a whole atmosphere. You know how like the movie Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go into that restaurant and that is an entire atmosphere in itself.
Right.
There is a whole nucleus just that is going.
Right. Yeah, you're an alien that just landed on this world.
Yes.
And you're going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, and the world's going to get left behind. And how is it going to evolve?
I like the idea of not stealing the whole thing, but what if the bug guy comes through and he's like, goes into the fridge, chugs out of the milk jug,
oh
sets
my gosh,
that
the
down.
The smart ones would maybe do that, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of stories in this job. Because I've seen a lot of people's houses. Okay, cockroaches. One of the worst infestations I ever saw in my life. The woman said, "Well, yeah, I can't get rid of them." Right? When you walk in the door, you're like, "Hey, how you doing? You know, what's the problem? Are there problems? What's mas cucarachas? muy poquito cucarachas? You know, grande cucarachas? You know, that's how you would do it. You know." But so you walk in, and so this woman, she's like, "Nah, I just can't get rid of these damn cockroaches, man. I don't understand." And infestation's really bad when the corners of the ceiling have the little dots,
where the little poop.
Little poop dots. That is an infestation. That's a major. That's a health violation infestation. If you see that, you should be a reporter if there's kids around it.
Sorry. Is that now a corner like where there's trim or no trim?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was going to say even worse if it's no trim. That means they're furthest away from a hiding spot.
That's where I was getting. Yeah.
You see them in the daytime, right? Then you know you've got a problem.
You got a major problem.
They're getting pushed out.
So I walk in and I'm not going to the edges because I see it. And so I know we got a problem. And you're not going to knock out a problem with one visit like that. But she's like, the sink is where they got the problem. Okay, the kitchen is where they got the problem. Of course, the kitchen is where they got the problem. Or the living room. Used to it wasn't in the living room as much, but now everybody eats in the living room. So there's food all over the living room. But so you go to the kitchen, and I kid you not, I did not see the countertop because of dishes and or food trash.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And you wonder why you can't get rid of the cockroaches?
Right.
So anyway, I go to it, and then I open the counter, okay? And it's a dark kitchen. They keep it dark in many cases because they don't want to see the scurrying about.
Yeah.
Shine my light up underneath, which is where, underneath of oftentimes in just statistics show there will be some sort of leak under the sink. And that is a huge draw for any infestation.
Wetness.
Yeah, wetness. Any moisture they can get to, they'll stay there. Shine the light up. And these cockroaches, they looked at me like, "Yo, what's up?" They did not move. They did not scurry.
That's bad.
They was like, they were shoulder to shoulder, like, "We ain't going nowhere. What's up, bro?"
They had no reason to be afraid of humans.
They didn't. Yeah. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. Now, some scurried about the littler ones or whatever, but the main ones, because the bowl, you know, the bowl of the sink.
Yeah.
Okay? They were on the bowl of the sink. And if you think about that, that means they had pooped on there enough that they can hang out there because it's really poor. It's like,
you see a bug in a sink, it can't get out.
Exactly. It's usually a slick surface.
They just shit their bridges out.
Literally, they can hold on to this one while they poop over here. Then it's like,
climbing wall.
Mountain climbing. Exactly.
Yeah, visual joke.
Disgusting
on the podcast.
Though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, and they get to a point right where you now, let's say that you tell these people, hey, look, you need to keep your house clean. You can keep your house immaculate at that point, but you got an infestation. Now they're like eating each other.
Yeah,
and they'll eat the poop from one another, right? Right. So it gets to the point where they're uncontrollable.
Dead, no problem. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if it's all from dishes, it's like I suggest cooking for one. Microwavable meals and paper plates. That's what you need to start doing.
And make sure you have the microwave away from the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Or your microwaving bodies.
Right.
100% of the time. 100% of the time.
Oh, man.
It's disgusting, bros.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. Great. Flea infestations were one of the worst for me because you get bit.
Right.
And I did not like getting bit by somebody else's fleas.
Did you ever see, like, spider infestations?
If you have a spider infestation, you have another infestation.
They're feeding off something
exactly.
else.
Right. Exactly. The spiders only go where food is, so, they don't just infest something.
I did see one that was, like, ticks. You ever see a tick infestation? I saw one with, like, walls crawling with ticks.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was disgusted by that. How? Because
puppy mill, maybe?
Oh,
maybe something where our goat or like cows carry a lot of those big dog ticks.
Yeah,
I guess as well. So I guess a pasture can that has a large cattle number can have a lot of ticks.
Just maybe, ticks all in your house.
Something you have to ask like Sir David Attenborough. Like once every 15 years, there's a mass migration of the deer tick.
My own personal belief in this, studying some of this. You know me. You know me in broadcasting. I study what I do.
Right.
I saw a correlation between or amongst. A number of people that baited for fire ants the year prior to how many ticks there were the next year, i.e., fire ant. One of the biggest killers of ticks is fire ants. Fire ants feed off of them, love them. So you get rid if everybody's killing their fire ants in their yard, those big mounds. You're killing all the tick killers.
Yeah.
The tick eaters. Then you got it. Next year, you have this big infestation of ticks.
Oh, you get
everybody's picking ticks and staying away from the woods.
Right.
It's what a tough battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love having a nice yard. So I'm like, I'll just have to go with the ticks, I guess.
It is straight warfare. It's like you cut the head off this enemy, you create five more.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Very true. So, but that's the ticks and ants, which is worse.
Right.
But fleas, I can imagine that being so bad. I had a friend who. A couple friend who had to constantly take in stray animals, very nice and stuff, but that usually meant their house was infested with fleas. And maybe all the dogs and stuff were getting treated, but I wasn't. So when I would come over and visit, I just imagine like if you're wearing white socks and you go inside their house, and before long, your socks are like black. They're just teeming with fleas.
I've seen toddlers that look like they have chicken pox.
Oh, just tick
bitten. Because they live in a flea-bitten house that didn't get treated for whatever reason, or you know what I mean? They look
suffering
like,
from anemia.
I mean, it's crazy.
I did hear, like, I was watching Hoarders once, and they shoved the camera into, like, a dark place or whatever where they were, like, growing at, and it was just the noise. It was just... Like hundreds of cockroach legs all tapping at the same time. Yikes. And it just created this awful noise.
Got a Hoarder pest control.
Oh yeah,
story for you real quick.
Yeah,
just burned the house down.
No, well maybe it was an apartment. It's funny. Again, I did mainly apartments.
Okay,
very few. When we did houses, it was termites almost always. So one day we get called into this apartment, which we had skipped three times. Prior to, and remember, I worked a year and a half, so that's 9 months, right? Or 12 months. That's a year. Three times. If I missed them three times, then I missed them a whole year of service. That's a big no-no. But this one, she had owned the apartment prior to the new owners, and the old owners sold her the apartment, like sold her a deed, gave her a deed, the whole nine, sold her this unit. And it was like the only, I think there were like three total, but the other two, they bought those units back out. She was the lone holdout, and she was like 80. So they knew she was going to die off anyway, so they're just like, you know, we'll just hold it until she dies. And then, because she had no, there was no transfer right or so. I don't, there was something, some reason why they were going to get it back when she died. But because she had the unit prior to them, they did not have a lease agreement or anything like that because she owned the property. So they did not have, she did not have to allow us into the unit. a year into my employment there at Backwoods Pest Control. What's up? Are y'all still even in business? I don't know. A year into my employment there, we get a call. And this, I'm like halfway in between. So I know this isn't normal. So sometimes you'd get a call if there's like, hey, we saw more roaches. Could you come back and hit this spot one more time? You know, whatever. So yeah, we did that often. We'd go hit some. So we get a call. It was like this unit. I knew that it was like 306. We knew the unit. It was me and the manager. Because you get to know these managers. Not the apartment manager. Not usually the manager. Usually the maintenance guy. The maintenance manager. The super. Yeah, whatever. So you get to know these guys because you go with them once a week, or depending on how big their unit, their stuff are, or you know. And we go to so many 30. The bigger units, we go into 30 units a day, 3 days a week, 2 weeks a month. You know, or what? You know, however it worked out.
Right.
That we service the entire property. Yeah, we service the entire property in every 3 months. So each unit got every quarter. You know, whatever. Right. So get this call. 306. She died. We're going to get to go in, bro. And they want us to go in, too, just because they don't know. You know, because Backwoods also, we caught snakes. We did other, you know, bigger things like bats. We beltried bats. And I didn't personally, but the boss man, the owners, the two owner guys, they did.
So the super's like Pizarro. Before they go in, they're like, we don't know what we're going to see when we go in here.
We got to bring some conquistadors with us.
So he opens the door with where we're like sitting there, me and Bill. We're sitting there, and like, you know, we don't know what we're going to get.
Flamethrowers at the ready.
Pop the door open, and it is a hoarder. She was a hoarder. Not the dirty kind in the sense of like.
Just trash.
Like trash dirt, but she was an OCD hoarder, if you have those. Okay, so as soon as you walk in, cans. Just like mountains from literal the ceiling wall corner all the way down to an aisle that you walk through, snaking aisle through the living room,
like canned goods.
So
not
goods.
Open
unopened You could probably snack on one while you're going through this moment.
And then you'd get a call the next, if she was still alive, like, hey, there, like, that can of beans was missing.
True. But so we go there. The next room is paper sacks. The next room's plastic sacks. So you got it was a 3-bedroom apartment. So you got paper sacks. I mean, and when I say the next room, you could open the door and like it pushed against paper sacks, and you
folded
push.
Nicely. Or?
No. Yeah. Thrown in there. So she pushed it in and shut the door.
Oh my goodness.
So you could run and jump from like 3 stories up and be perfectly fine, probably. Okay. So then the next one's plastic sacks. You run and jump in there, you're going to be suffocated because it was just same thing, but plastic sacks. It wasn't as tall. I guess she had only been using plastic sacks for 3 or 4 years or whatever.
Yeah, they're newer.
But apparently this woman, the neighbor said she would come home with usually two bags of canned goods every day. She just bought canned goods. That's what she did. She was well enough off.
Yeah.
And that was her hobby. Buying canned goods. Yeah. There was also some boxed goods in the third room. There was third room was miscellaneous, like her junk drawer.
Yeah. Her junk room.
Yeah. Literally, and that's where she also slept. So it was like a just a pile. She climbed over a little pile, you know, only about knee high. She climbed over that pile to get to her bed, which was only, you know, big enough for her to in a ball for 3 hours, and then she got back up and did the whole thing again. But that was an experience.
Was it a bad infestation, or was everything fairly?
There was mice. I mean, you know, there were mice trails that were that deep in the back, because she hadn't been back there for 20 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nothing had been back there because
bag full
cans. They were just trailing through the cans back there.
Right.
So, we didn't see anything that day. We opened the door like, okay, we can't do anything. Sorry. I mean, y'all's going to have to clean this whole thing out.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the local pantries had canned goods for years.
Okay. That's a good option. You're like a strange grandson, you know. You barely heard your parents talk about grandma, you know, a long time ago. But then all of a sudden, 20, 30 years later, you get a call and you're like, well, your grandmother's passed away. Like, oh, I didn't know she was still alive. Well, you need to come down to so-and-so law firm. She's left you some things. And then you get down there and list, well, she's left you 137,000 cans of food, and it is upon you at this moment to get all of it out of there.
Now you have to hire somebody to load it up and take it, you know, And now it's a burden on you.
Oh, no, just burn it down.
Yeah. You have inherited a room full of plastic and paper sacks.
So, that was interesting experience. I knew at that moment I could be a minimalist, no problem. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No problem.
That was not going to be your life in the future.
Absolutely not. Now, I do collect certain things. Y'all have seen my watch collection.
Sure.
Which has kind of turned into a hobby. So if you ever need a watch battery change, I could do it. No.
Could you imagine somebody hoarding like really nice things? Like you walk in and it's just like piles of art. Of watches and coach purses. And
that's what you do when you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Local billionaire. I'll leave names out just in case, but because billionaires, they usually have reach and their kids usually have reach. But no, a billionaire, he had like, I mean, his collection included not only vehicles, but he had like the, you know, the cash, those real ornate gold cash registers from back in the day. It was like ching. And it's like beautiful.
Yeah.
He had like hundreds of those.
Oh, wow.
I know one because he bought one off of Laura and I once before he passed away. But but we also were part of the big, huge auction over across state lines to sell a lot of his collection.
Oh, man.
When he passed. But when you're a billionaire, that's what you collect. Those things that cost you $1,000 each. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sorry, the gold bullion room is just a mess. Yeah. You go in there, it's all piled, just scattered all over the place, stepping over them.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me sweep up these cougar ants.
My bad. Did you get your gold dust out of my way? Yeah. Excuse me.
This has definitely been one of my favorite episodes we have done yet. Thanks so much for sticking through with us. Hopefully, the political scene can continue to stay boring so we can hear more stories of Jay cleaning out hoarders' nests. My God. Anyways, again, huge thanks to everybody at the Ouachita Podcast. Check out the other shows if you haven't yet, and we look forward to the next episode. For Jay Lindley and Patrick Massey, I'm Tyler Massey. We'll catch you next time.